Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to a very personal episode of the Strang Report podcast. Today, August 19th, 2022, is very special in my life, and on this podcast, you'll find out why, because it's my 50th wedding anniversary. I'm in the studio alone. I'm feeling a little bit sentimental. I made no plans. I'm just sharing from my heart. So stay tuned for what I hope you find is an interesting podcast.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back. Occasionally, I do a personal podcast like this. Usually, it has to do with my giving tribute to someone notable, or in a few instances, people that are close to me, such as my mother. She went to heaven on January 25th at age 93, and I went into the studio and did a very personal podcast. My mother was a wonderful Christian lady, but she wasn't particularly well known. But I just wanted to honor her memory. I had no idea who'd listen to it beyond, you know, a few family friends and a few relatives. I was shocked. I checked the numbers this morning. So far, 57,000 people have listened to that podcast, so there must be some kind of interest. And as I mentioned in the opening, August 19th is the anniversary of when Joy and I were married 50 years ago. And obviously, at a time like this, a milestone, you stop and reflect on life. The first thing I can remember is that when I was 20 years old, my grandparents in Michigan had their 50th wedding anniversary, and I traveled all the way from Florida to Michigan as a college freshman to be there. And I remember they were old. They were really old. And when I mentioned to my wife, Joy, I was going to do this, she says, you know you're going to be telling everybody how old you are. Well, hey, life goes on, and I don't feel as old as my grandparents. In fact, Joy and I got married fairly young, younger than they did. But that's not the point. Joy is a very private person, and I respect that, even though she has worked with me in our company and as co-owner. We've worked together, if you can believe it, 41 years. And she very much has a part of our strategy and the direction. She is not very public, except for a few instances where she's spoken at women's conferences. She lets me be the public one. And, you know, I want to respect that. So even when we're celebrating our anniversary, it's very, very low key. We're going to have a dinner for a few family and a few friends. If it were up to me, I would probably rent the Civic Center and invite 1,000 people and have a band and who knows what else. I'm speaking a little bit in hyperbole, but I wanted to honor the way she wanted to do it. But I did get her permission to do this podcast. I just hate to let this milestone pass. Joy and I came from very, very similar backgrounds. Her father was an Assemblies of God minister, and so was mine. Her father became ordained in the Assemblies of God in 1934. My grandfather became ordained in the Assemblies of God in 1919. So we both have long-standing roots in that denomination. There were other things that were very, very similar. Several of her siblings attended Southeastern Bible College, today Southeastern University. In fact, Joy was a student there when I met her. I was a student at the University of Florida. I actually knew several members of her family. In fact, there was only, she comes from a large family, 7 children, and I knew all of them except for Joy and one brother from Illinois. I mean, there were just so many parallels in our lives. And then one fateful day, it was February 5th, 1972, we met. I had no idea we'd fall in love and get married. As far as I was concerned, in fact, I was telling a friend recently that, you know, I was a college junior and didn't have much money, didn't really, really know what I was going to do in life. And Joy, well, how do I say it? I really felt she was kind of our out of my league. She's very pretty. I knew she had been engaged. Somebody told me that. I don't know. She was out of my league. And as we got to know each other, just first as friends, and began connecting and began debating. I mean, it's kind of a family joke that we would debate several things. Usually it had to do with theology. At the time, I was very enthusiastic Christian, excited about the Lord, involved in the charismatic movement, which was apart from the Pentecostalism that we had grown up with, influenced by the Jesus movement. And there were certain doctrines where charismatics and Pentecostals saw things differently, and we would debate. And later on, she told somebody I was like the first guy she ever dated who could hold his own in a debate. And I had to laugh because I had no idea I was being evaluated that way. And, you know, these are the kinds of things you experience, and later on in life, you kind of look back and laugh. But we began to fall in love. We did. We just, you know, fall in love. And I thought, you know, this is the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with. And we started talking about marriage in late May, as I recall. By August, or actually by July, we decided we wanted to get married before my senior year instead of waiting a year. I would have been in Gainesville. She would have been in Lakeland. At the time, we were writing each other every single day. This, for the ones that are younger, you probably don't remember the days before email, but we used to actually write letters, and we would put a stamp on them, and we would drive down to the post office, and we would mail them before 5 o'clock, and then hopefully they would get the letter the next day. In fact, we kind of fell in love writing our letters, and we would get together as we could on weekends mainly. I took a summer job in Lakeland. I worked at the Lakeland Ledger, which was the newspaper. I had an internship. I actually wrote an article, a very tragic article, about a young mother who apparently just went berserk and killed her own baby and buried it in an orange grove and told people that three black men in a car came up and snatched the baby, et cetera, et cetera. And it was national news back in the days before cable. It just was. And it was near Lakeland. And I went, and I was the first one to interview the family. The young mother was in jail, of course. And it won a national award. It won the William Randolph Hearst Writing Award and brought me a lot of attention as a college senior. But the thing I was interested in, it had a little scholarship that went along with it. And I, at that point in my life, I really needed the money. But I mean, anyway, all this was happening that summer. Joy actually worked at the Ledger too. I mean, it was a coincidence. She was in the advertising department. She was working part-time as she went to Southeastern. And, you know, so we interacted a lot of different ways. We had a fairly small wedding in Jacksonville, Florida. That's where her father pastored at the time. It was a regular wedding. You know, we had an organist and a soloist. The soloist, I listened to the wedding. We had it recorded on cassette tape. I since transferred it to a CD. The cameras were around, but it wasn't very common, and we certainly couldn't afford it, so we have no video of the ceremony. We exchanged our vows. The soloist sang the Lord's Prayer, believe it or not, and then Joy, who has a beautiful singing voice and actually was an entertainer before I knew her, she sang and kind of entertained at kind of a family-oriented place up in Panama City, Florida, which caters to tourists, and I always teased her about being in showbiz, but really in a way she was. You know, it wasn't big time, but she was just very, very good, and in our wedding, she sang the song made famous by Andy Williams called More, and of course, I've always loved that song since. We had a small reception. We went on a short honeymoon to St. Augustine, Florida. And then we went back to work, and then we moved up to the University of Florida. She got a job there. I finished my education. We moved to Orlando. And I like to tell Joy that one of our goals was to grow old together. And I said, we are experiencing our goal. Actually, we made a commitment to spend the rest of our life together, and I would say at this point it's probably a fairly good option that we will. 50 years and counting. That's my attitude. 50 years and counting. This is just a milestone. I hope we make it 60 years, and who knows how many years the Lord would give us. However long or short it is, we have to try to serve Him. We have to try to be faithful. We have to be committed. But Joy and I have always been committed to each other. We had good role models. Our parents were both committed to each other. My parents were married 48 years before my father died of a heart attack. We actually had a big 40th anniversary celebration for them, wondering if they would make it to 50. I mean, it was kind of ironic, but we asked our, I guess maybe when we were deciding whether or not to make a big deal out of the 40th, we thought, well, we might as well, because, you know, you just never know what the future holds. I'm glad we did. I remember going to her parents' 50th anniversary. Her sister, Rosella, and Howard, pastored in Panama City, Florida at the time. And it was a great event. I remember it. Her parents made it to 60 years. I don't remember exactly how many, but they made it to 60 years. Joy and I have had a good marriage. In fact, if you're grading on the curve, it's been a great marriage. Has it been perfect? No. But what is? But she knows, even without me saying, but I'll say it here, how much I love her. I really do. A lot of our commitment, of course, is that we believe that God ordained marriage, and that when a husband and wife make a commitment to each other, it's for life. And, of course, everyone's heard the joke about Ruth and Billy Graham, you know, who are just almost Christian icons. Everybody looked up to him so much. And apparently, Ruth Graham said at one time that they had never considered divorce. They had considered murder a few times, but never divorce, which is funny just because it's so absurd. And I've heard a lot of Christian couples kind of make that joke, and we have to. Actually, I don't know that we've ever considered that, but, you know, there are days when you have disagreements and so forth, but by God's grace, we've had enough of a commitment to each other. I started Charisma Magazine when I was 24 years old. I had just turned 30. You know, a lot of people know the story that we formed a company. We became a publishing house, the one we're still in all this time. And of course, since that point on, Joy has worked with me. In the early days, we were part of a mega church just getting off the ground, and Joy was not involved. I worked for the church. She didn't. We were raising our son, Cameron, who was born just a few months after Charisma started. And then later, a few years later, of course, Chandler, my second son, was born. And we look forward at our dinner, which will be a few hours from now. Both of them, of course, will be there, as well as our grandson named Cohen. It's just going to be a small event. We're going to have a nice meal. There will be a very short program. A few friends will share a few thoughts. My brother Paul, who is a tremendous musician and singer, is going to sing a couple of songs that we asked him to. I mean, you know, just a very nice, a little bit formal, but also informal dinner that we're going to have. I'm going to be fairly low-key, because this is not about me. It's about just the fact that we want to celebrate God's goodness as we pass this milestone. We want to give glory to God. Anything that we've accomplished in our lives, or even the fact that our marriage has survived, is really because of His mercy and grace. But I am going to have one small part, and that is that I'm going to read a poem that I wrote for Joy. Most of you don't know that I write a little bit of poetry. I do it on kind of an as-needed basis. It's a little bit of a hobby. But, you know, at a situation like this, isn't it nice that we can, you know, write a poem? What's wrong with that? And so I thought, since you have listened this long, you must be interested. So I thought I would read it to you. And I call it 50 Years with You. And I'll close out the podcast with reading the poem. I will encourage you to share this with others. I think that that's how there were so many downloads for the tribute I did for my mother. By the way, it was around January 26. You can look it up on the Charisma Podcast Network if you're interested in listening to it. Or really, you can check out any of my podcasts. I've just passed 16.4 million downloads since we started in 2015. Of course, that year I only had 14,000 podcasts. It's really grown the last couple of years. And this year so far, since January, I've had 3.4 million podcasts. So I'm kind of on track to be at about 6 million for the year. But I share it with others, and I hope that something I said either made you smile or maybe think about your own life and marriage. I was texting as recently as this morning with a young man that I pray for and try to mentor as I can, who is going through a very, very difficult place in his marriage, and I was trying to encourage him, and I want to encourage you if you're going through a difficult time. You know, it used to be that our culture encouraged couples to stay together. A divorce was unheard of 150 years ago, and even 100 years ago, fairly unheard of. Today, sadly, it's way too common. But really, you know, even if your marriage is sour, I encourage you to work on it. It's easier. You can have a happy marriage. And in my opinion, it's easier than starting over. But I'll throw that in. I didn't charge you for that. I didn't intend to go there. But hey, maybe I'll make somebody think, or maybe it'll minister to someone. So I'll close with this little poem. I hope you enjoy it. It's called 50 Years with You. And I wrote it for my wife, Joy. In fact, if you knew her life, you'd probably enjoy it more. I think when I wrote it, I didn't anticipate sharing it, you know, beyond our own family. But I talk about her family, the Farrells. I mention her going to Southeastern. I even mention her singing. You'll notice these little themes coming up. But here it is. In a home full of love, your life began. Your parents, Rosella, and the Farrell clan. School meant being teacher's pet for sure, and living abroad was a huge adventure. On your own, college, singing, life's great. Off to Southeastern, but what's your fate? You met a young man who did not deserve you, but who loved you and lives only to serve you. Young love, small income, but God-sized vision. What a risk. Yet God gave the provision. You nurtured Cameron and Chandler. So focused on them, you'd never meander. New Longwood house, great memories, what fun. Cameron survived teens while Chandler learned drums. Now our parents are all up in heaven, but life goes on. Now Cohen's a blessing. Life's had hardships you never expected, yet God's faithful and you were protected. When people disappointed, the word kept you fed. You've blossomed into a woman who's spirit-led. Charisma's still about spirit-led living. Blessings aren't about getting, only about giving. After my cancer, we thank God for health. Many friends are the best kind of wealth. While temperaments differ, our values are strong. You're not always right, but I'm not always wrong. You love family and friends and love to laugh. Flower and nature's, but that's only half. Furry critters you love, and even your job. You love music and life, but most of all, God. With God's blessing, each day with you is new. What a joy to have spent 50 years with you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.